Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The English language can be a very challenging language to learn. And part of that is because many words that we have in ordinary, regular conversation can have a wide variety of meanings. Take the word run, for example, which according to the dictionary has 179 different interpretations. How would you understand the phrase, I need to run through this? Does it mean you had to go through someplace from point A to point B? Does it mean you need to practice something or review it or just to flat out do it? The phrase by itself without context is rather ambiguous given the variety of possible meanings. But that's not the only word with many meanings. Words like cut or hand or break or set all have 90 possible interpretations. So how do we know what they mean? We use context. Context helps us to better understand a word's meaning. Context helps us to understand certain concepts and ideas. Context is really important. And as we look at James chapter 2 this morning, you really see the same rule at play. Context is important, and it's key for how we understand this chapter. For here, James teaches about how works and faith relate with each other. And when we see James 2, then the context of Scripture and the book itself, his point really becomes clear and understood. He says in verse 14, what good is it then, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Later on in verse 26, he concludes it by saying, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. And at a first glance, it seems to be at odds with the Apostle Paul, the champion of we are saved by grace through faith alone. James seems to kind of muddy the waters by bringing works into the mix. It seems like we might have a potential problem on our hands. But remember, we need to look at the context. We need to see James 2 within the context of it all. Is James the apostle at odds with Paul the apostle? No, of course not. Context shows us otherwise. And a professor at school really helped me understand how this is not the case. Why do they sound so different? They have two completely different audiences. They have two different sets of problems that they write about. In his letters, Paul writes about legalism, the idea that I am saved by works and not by grace. And Paul says that's not the case at all. We're saved by grace. We're right with God because of Jesus. Legalism is the problem that Paul writes about. But that's not James's problem. The problem he faces is laxity. The people he writes to are lukewarm and lazy in their faith. They say, since we're saved by faith alone, what does it matter what we do or not do? It doesn't make a difference. We're saved by grace, not by works. That is James's problem. They also have different focuses. Paul writes about the root of salvation. He answers the question, what is the basis for my relationship with the God of the universe? And that's what we receive and are given in Jesus, faith and his forgiveness. But James, he writes about the fruit of salvation. He talks about how we respond in faith to God saving us in Jesus Christ. He is concerned about that fruit, works. That's what he is concerned about. And they also have different points. Paul writes about how to know you are a Christian. And again, it's by faith alone. It's by what we receive and are in Jesus Christ. We just finished a series on Ephesians, which every week told us what we are in Jesus Christ. It's not based on what we do or are going to do, but what Jesus has done for us. But James is concerned with how to show you're a Christian. He focuses on what does this mean for your life? James and Paul really have different contexts, don't they? But do they conflict about what they teach about salvation? Paul gives probably the most definitive and clear and concise explanation of how we are saved. In Ephesians 2, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works." Did you catch that? We're saved by grace through faith alone. Works have nothing to do with it. But we have been given new life in Jesus Christ and have been created for good works. Good works naturally follow and they flow from faith. We want to serve God in light of what he's done for us. We want to serve our neighbors because we've been forgiven and loved in Jesus Christ. Faith and works cannot be separated from each other, although works don't save. And James would agree with this. He believes we're saved by faith alone. In chapter 1, he says God gave us new birth through the implanted word. In chapter 4, he writes that God is able to save. And in chapter 5, he says God forgives. And he's merciful and compassionate. That's not a guy who thinks and says that we're saved by works. So what's he saying in chapter 2? Remember his context. He's writing to those who are lax in their faith. And there are two sinful outcomes when Christians dismiss the fact that works can't save. The first is this: a person does whatever they want because God's grace is there to pick us up when we sin and go astray. Or the second thing is we do nothing because it counts for nothing. We might treat works like the extra readings on a college class list that won't be on the test. When you see that list, you just don't do it, right? But these actions aren't the response of faith. And James says it's really not faith at all. He's after a definition of faith that is comprehensive and distinct from those who say that deeds don't matter in light of faith. And that's what chapter 2 is all about. And he says that faith is not something that we merely just say or think. He says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" He's using an example where faith is completely divorced from works and faithful living. It's divorced from those actions done in response to being saved. It really is just talk. This faith doesn't produce fruit in response to God's mercy and love shown in Jesus. It's not that the works save, they don't. This faith is just not responding to what God has given. And he uses an example to really prove his point. He says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed, or literally naked, and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed, be filled," without giving them the things needful for the body, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I remember when I would volunteer at the food kitchen that there are always two easy ways to see if a person was hungry. And the first would be to watch the garbage can in the middle of the room. You could see by the amount of food that people would throw out really just how hungry they were. And it would surprise me to see how sometimes people would just take the cookie and throw the rest away. What does that show about how hungry they are? The second way would be to look at their demeanor when they would get their meal. When someone hasn't had anything to eat for a while, they look kind of fatigued and weak, and their face kind of gets droopy. They're kind of lethargic. You can kind of tell they haven't had anything to eat. And when you give them that tray of food, their eyes light up with thanks, and they thank you profusely for giving them something to eat. In James's example, it's really obvious to see that the person is needy. They either have no clothes or they're poorly clothed. They're weak from not eating. And seeing that, he says, what does this faith do? And the faith he describes see this and gives a nice and pious response. It says, go in peace. It'll be all good. Be warm, be filled. And it doesn't do a thing. He says, what good is that? It does nothing for the person. That doesn't reflect faith. Really just talk. It's just head knowledge. But he continues. He said, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works.
Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If you were to go to a nursery to buy an apple tree, let's say, what would be some of the ways to know what you would be buying? Certainly, you could ask an employee who could tell you what the tree is. You could look at the sign in front of it. You might compare pictures of it on Google. But the most precise and guaranteed way would be to see if it's producing apples, right? You would without a doubt know that that is an apple tree. With the other options, you better hope they're right. And it's the same concept here. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. James says we can't see faith, but we can see the fruit of faith, which is good works. And he builds on that with the examples of Abraham and Rahab, who acted in accord with their faith. Abraham was ready to give up his son for in obedience to God's command. Rahab helped those spies. You could see what they did by their faith. You could see they had faith by their works. The apostle focuses on works, but we really can't forget the context. We are saved by grace through faith alone. We're saved because of Jesus' death for us that forgives us of all of our sins. We've been given new life in Him and created for good works. Our works will never, ever save us, and they'll never count towards our salvation, but they spring forth out of love and thankfulness for what our God has done for us and in us through Jesus Christ. And even those works are His works. We can't ever forget that context. And I think this sermon has run its course. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.